This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It is time for our daily tech and business report. Today we're joined by Bloomberg's Mark Gurman. Roku says it remains committed to its set-top boxes, even as more companies are making smart TVs. So Mark, Roku started out with its boxes way before smart TVs were popular, and Roku makes its own TV. So why is the company saying this about the future of its boxes?
Yeah, you know, set-top boxes are important because this is how you bring more people into the ecosystem that don't want to pay out of pocket for a new TV, right? A smart TV could cost $700, if not thousands of dollars, whereas a set-top box can cost anywhere between $40 and $100, right? And a set-top box essentially provides the same experience as a smart TV, except for the fact that it's externally connected over, you know, your cable versus being built into the set itself. So if you're on an old TV, a set-top box is a cheap and quicker way to really upgrade that experience. And so that remains why they're so important.
So Roku makes its own TVs as well. And how much are those? How well are they selling compared to the boxes?
Well, they don't break out the numbers. I would imagine, if I'm just guessing, that the set-top boxes do better than the first-party TVs themselves. But what Roku does say is that combined third-party TVs and first-party TVs with Roku software on it and the Roku platform, those combined outsell set-top boxes. So, you know, both parts of the business are important. The issue here, to be honest, is that the set-top boxes are a money loser, right? They have negative gross profit margins. They generate losses. So this is not a lucrative business. In fact, it's a negative on the balance sheet, right? And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to make up in terms of advertising and content and application purchases on the Roku platform itself. And so the set-top boxes are a cheap way of allowing more people to experience that services content that they're making most of their money on now.
God, this is such a changing industry. Everything is different. The technology changes. And then all of a sudden, we're all streaming everything. And it makes me wonder, you know, how these companies try to keep up.
Yeah, it's going to keep changing. I actually think that they hit the nail on the head with the experience here, right? I think having options for both, especially if you're a company that has pivoted to making money off of the platform, is to be able to reach your customers and provide them that platform any way they're able to experience it. So having that dual product structure of having those set-top boxes to access people who have older TVs and don't want a smart TV, but also putting your content in smart TVs for people who are buying new TVs from Best Buy, Costco, et cetera, that's important. The other thing that they are doing is releasing applications for third-party platforms. So you can access Roku's content on Android. You can access it on iOS devices, so iPhones and iPads, not the Apple TV at this point. So putting your content wherever your consumers are, that's the approach that Microsoft took on under their new CEO, or I guess the CEO when he was new a decade ago, that helped bring Microsoft back to relevancy. Obviously, Microsoft and Roku are two different companies, but this is a similar playbook. And from a platform standpoint, recently, it seems to be working out for them.
Okay, tell us about this new high-end version. It's called Ultra.
This is a refresh to the Roku Ultra. This is their $100 player. This upgrade, to be honest, is not much to write home about. It has a 30% faster processor. It's a quad-core chip, improvements on both the CPU and the GPU. Basically, they're saying that app launching will be a lot quicker. They're using artificial intelligence to predict which app you're going to load next in order to preload it so it opens more quickly. This is something they've been doing on other platforms, including the iPhone, for a while now. The other thing here is that it's going to include their new remote. This is their more premium remote with backlit buttons and a better usability overall. So that's bundled in the box now. The first time they're bundling that new remote with one of their players. So it's a very marginal update. people who with existing Roku boxes probably are not going to run out and buy this one. But for people who are new to the Roku or set-top box world, this is going to be something interesting to them. I think that $99 price point at their high end, so their most expensive one is $100, I think is really solid. You can see some of these other set-top boxes from Apple and others top $140. So it's pretty aggressive pricing, and it's an expensive device, and so you can see why it's a money loser from a hardware standpoint.
That is Bloomberg's Mark Gurman. You can hear our tech and business reports weekdays at 12:30 right here on KCBS. And for more, tune into Bloomberg Technology Weekdays that comes at you at 8 a.m.